we're living life for purpose, right? Like, I don't feel like I want to live life if I don't have a purpose. If I don't have music, I don't want to live life. If I don't have acting, I don't want to live life. If I don't have those things that keep my engine moving, right? I really don't know what it is that I'm waking up for in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so those things are crucial to my love for people, my love for working hard at something, because at that point, you know, it's so cliche. You say it's not work, but all work is work. But the hardest work for me, again, this is working on myself. It's way harder to be alone in a room and doing what you're supposed to do for yourself to be a healthier version of you.
You're tuning into the Men of the Hour podcast, where I, your host, Justin Crawford, have been interviewing today's most influential men for over 2 years now on the show. And if there's anything I've learned in 6 seasons, it's that when you sit a man down for more than 30 minutes, you may get him to open up about some things he may never have before. And that's the point of the show. Thanks for tuning in wherever you're listening and being with us on this episode today. I truly hope you're able to learn something new and take something positive away from this conversation, because after all, that's what podcasting's all about. Welcome to Men of the Hour Podcast Season 7. Everyone, thank you for clicking on the Men of the Hour. Today, I'm bringing you a new friend, someone you may recognize from his days on Disney Channel, especially from the hit show Hannah Montana. Mitchell Musso is here now, and he's got new music out. And of course, we're going to share that with you guys, and I'm so excited to meet him. I've been staring at him in the Zoom call for just a little bit now, and it's so exciting to see that you have not even changed. But there's also other elements that I'm sure we have a lot to talk about with you, especially when it comes to catching you up on your life. You don't look any different, but your life has probably changed forever and all, you know, and what you've been up to. So thank you for saying yes to doing this podcast episode with me, man.
Thank you for having me.
There's a lot of fascination too around like the fact that we will always know that as an entertainer, people would do acting and then maybe they do music. And then some people go into screenwriting. There's 700 things that you could do in your field. But before we talk about your career, your music, can we get a catch up, Mitchell Musso? Like, what have you been doing? You live in Dallas now. I thought you were in LA. Like, what? Catch us up on your life. I'm just generally curious. And if you're tuning in and Mitchell looks familiar, it's because like literally, he's an actor, but like, what have you been up to?
This is such a good question. And I think I've fumbled the bag multiple times in this question, because what the heck have I been up to? Going through life, just sort of living, you know. If you don't know anything about my career, I was working at a really early age, for well over a decade. So I would say since, the Hannah days, since the Disney days, Pear Kings, Phineas and Ferb, I have been like on this journey of what I want to do with my life. What is my future? And so I tried like a lot of different things, a lot of different outlets. Whether it was, I actually had a yogurt land a couple years ago in Waikiki Beach that I thought would cure some sort of this emptiness inside of me that I wanted to try other things, right? I worked at my buddy's, he owned a furniture store in Denver. So I lived out there for about a year. I lived in Florida for about a year with my father. This is kind of sad. When he went through his divorce, I went and spent a year with him in Florida. But it was great for our relationship and relationship building with my dad. But just kind of everywhere, just sort of just like living life very normally, away from cameras, away from entertainment side of the world, which is really my life, right? Which is my life. But I just took a different route than a lot of my peers.
Gosh, do we have so much to unpack with you, Mitchell? I mean,
I think that it's a good thing. I think that I grew exponentially more than I would have if I continued to just sit at my place in LA and pursue acting and music. Mm-hmm. I really did need to decompress, really build a solid foundation with my family and friends, and just figure out who is Mitchell Musso away from being the brand Mitchell Musso, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, my happiness is at a peak, you know, right now, which is great. And it wasn't, you know, when I took off for a couple of years and really wanted to just spend time alone and with family, I don't know. I just didn't feel great.
And you say 10 years. I mean, you think of a career at that young age. I mean, I couldn't imagine if you're listening right now, you probably, if you're not doing it right now, then like no one thinks that would even be possible. Was there anything or anyone that you really kind of noticed and said, wow, I'm going to get out of the business and I'm just going to go. And like you had said, your happiness is at an all peak. And a lot of that's because you paid so close attention to other things that were outside of what you identified with as your brand. And you moved and you did things and it didn't really, you know, but then in the back of your head, wasn't there something that said like, wait, I'm meant to be an actor. I'm meant to be a celebrity. I'm meant to, you know.
Every single day that I've been away. It's so tough. Like things really shifted to like a huge portion of the entertainment industry is this social media presence, right? And it's extremely invasive, which is fine, which is totally cool because a lot of these guys who are huge on social media, guys and girls who are huge on social media, they love it, you know? I didn't know where I fit in that world. And when you're not working, when you're not, you know, working for networks or shooting movies or recording records and on tour, it's really important to keep your face in the public eye, right? You never want to, you know, because your fans feel betrayed. You never want to completely pull yourself away because people wonder what you're doing and, you know, they miss you. They really miss you. And yeah, that's eaten me for a long time.
Mm.
But it was very necessary in my situation.
I knew I was going to respect you when we started talking, but I have like even more admiration at this point because I think what you're hitting on is you decided to step away. You decided to take your life a little bit more privately down a road. And then you're making all that you have made decisions without thinking too much about the fans and thinking too much about what could have been, you know, for instance, you would have like continued to do things on Disney and for what, you know, whatever. But I mean, as we're listening now, I mean, you guys are probably thinking the same exact thing. It's like, okay, but now that you are where you're at, especially when you're with your music, I think that like, I love it. I was taking a peek at all of the, at the album right before we started chatting and I go, what the heck? Like, you know, at what point did you decide that you wanted to do this now? And how is this different than acting, for instance?
Okay. So the difference between acting and the music, which I love acting and I will forever be an actor. And I kind of thrive in the comedy world and I love having a cast because you have a crew who's like incredible and they all uplift you and they make you better than you really are because they're so talented too. And it helps you shine. The music side of things is super personal. It's really, really personal. And it's a, it's genuinely who I am without having to play a character.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have free rein with my music. When I went about approaching the record Ghost, this mixtape that I've just released, we went to labels and we sat down and talked with them, whether it was via Zoom or in person. And I there's something about connection with fans and with people that I feel like sometimes is pulled, your connection's pulled away when you have, there's nothing wrong with labels. It's just a machine, right? That everybody has their own working gears and everything sort of works in tandem together. But when you're a solo, when you're an artist and you're independent, which is the route I took, which is to make a label and do everything independently, there's something really exciting and also terrifying where I don't have anybody telling me what's right and wrong. And I'm sort of like have a bunch of people who love me and care about me. And they're all like, oh my gosh, this is fantastic. This is great. So everything I'm doing, I feel like is right. And the sounds right. And I'm able to connect with the fans. And I feel like there's something great there that they'll be able to connect with as well. That you can't get with a label, but it's also so scary doing this stuff by yourself. Mm-hmm. Because again, these are all people who are sort of biased, right? They all want the best for me and they all want this to succeed. So when it hit the public this just a couple hours ago, 2 hours ago, I'm over here shaking, you know, because I really don't know, because I'm sure people are going to hate it. And then some people are going to love it. And some people are going to be like, what the heck is this? And not sure of it. And maybe eventually start enjoying it or not enjoying it. But there's something really special about doing this alone, you know, other than my team. And I have an incredible team.
But on your own, in the sense that you're the decision maker, you're the creator, you're the kick engine, you know.
They depend on me to get it running, and that's what we're trying to do.
Y'all, I'm like staring at Mitchell, and I go, you have somewhat of a, and I'm no therapist, I'm no empath. I've tried to claim it, but I can't. But I'm watching you talk, and I go, you have really probably figured a lot out over the years by having done your own thing, created your own now journey of doing everything that you're doing. So I want to ask if there are any points throughout, you know, you did your 10 years as just acting, and then you were like, you know what, I'm going to spend time on myself, my family, my life, everything else. And then you've reached this peak of happiness that I think a lot of people still have yet to find, because they might be caught up in acting. They might be caught up in podcasting, for instance, like whatever they think they want to do, they're not finding that actual happiness. So if we can speak to happiness for a moment, and as it relates to being open, you just said it. You were like, oh, I don't know how this is going to hit. But you didn't go like normal people who put out their own record would have said, oh my gosh, like, I hope everyone loves it. And if it doesn't get 100 million downloads in like the first hour, I'm going to be so stressed. I put so much energy, right? We've all heard those like thoughts, and maybe we've had those thoughts, but you clearly didn't put those out in the universe. And there's a reason for that. So can you walk us through maybe like just a little bit of the time that you've spent working on your own happiness and how it relates to your work? Because your work essentially is your life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that it's outside of our social bubbles. I think a lot of my happiness came from me just being alone with myself, because I spent a lot of time alone. And it was so difficult at first. For the first couple months, maybe even the first year, it was really, really hard because I was so adjusted to the opposite, right? To millions and millions of people every week on shows or playing concerts, just being in the public eye. And it was and it's really, really cool. But I feel like it's the most important thing that I could have done for myself was to spend time by myself, really figure out who I am, and what it is that I love in this life, and exercise and things like that, you know, like reading and exercise and building again solid relationships and rebuilding relationships that might have been burnt or not very good, that were also huge parts of my life that I just wanted to fix. Because I'm not sure if you've had friends pass or family members pass. I can only speak for myself, but in my life, I've had many people that are gone, you know, that they're not here anymore. And it, to me, if I'm not good mentally, that I'm not good for my friends and my peers and my work associates and my family. And so the most important thing for me during the time that I walked away for a little bit was just to be a good person. And that came with love. That came with finding things that I really love and working towards those goals that I set for myself, whether they were small goals or big goals. But I slowly started reaching these goals, whether it was physical goals or mental goals. That just made me feel better about myself, which made me know that I was better for the universe and better for people and better to be around and more of a light than I was sulking in some sort of darkness that I wasn't dealing with. If that makes sense.
Makes total sense. I mean, you think about it. So we're like very health focused anyway. You think about anybody who listens right now, and you, do you have an example of say for like, it could be health or fitness or mental, but what was one goal that you did set? And when you set it, how drastic of a difference was it for you overall?
Well, there was again, to me, a small goal is, and for, we'll say for physical health, getting on a 60-day program, a 30-day program. I fell in love with calisthenics a couple years ago, and there's this app that I really liked and I enjoyed the trainers in called Fit. And they have like a, you know, I think it's 56 days, but it's about a 2-month journey of calisthenics. You're working out 3 days off 1 day, 3 days off 1 day. And you can't stop, you know, if you stop, you have to start over. Or at least that's kind of what I told myself, because I'm an extremist and I want to do everything to the best of my ability. That was sort of a small goal. A really big goal for me would be like X's. So I have like X's, and I'm sure most people do, that I just completely stopped talking to when we broke up, because it was too hard to talk to them, or it made me sad or emotional, or I'd want to get back together with them because I had so much love for these people. And I went years without speaking to them. And this is a big goal. You know, this is like a monster in my eyes, a massive thing, because I come from two divorcee parents that have yet to speak since they were divorced about 11 years ago. And so to me, I don't ever want to be that, you know, and this is just personal experience. Everybody has their own things. That was a big goal that I ended up achieving, because whether I set a date on it, like, okay, in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to reach out to so-and-so, just to say, oh my gosh, I miss you. How are you? I hope you're doing fantastic. You're a huge part of my life. I spent years with you. You know everything about me more than a lot of my best friends because of intimacy things, that I had to handle before being good to myself, because it was always in the back of my mind, you know, those types of things, or those people were always in the back of my mind because they played a pivotal role in my, in who I am today. So I think that those are really big goals, are people that you, love, and, this is just personal. So that for me, that was a big goal that I had to overcome as well.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think people put it into enough perspective in that case too, where you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, I want to change my life. I want to move. I want to reconnect with people.
Yeah. I don't want to be stuck in a world where I can't reach out to this person because of some sort of connection that we had lost because again, they are huge parts of my life.
Mm.
I really want to be grounded with everyone that I know and everyone that I've ever known. Because I'm such a lover, you know, I love my friends. I love my family. I love, my team. We're all working towards the same goal, and that's just to be better people, right? It's not just about the music. It's not just about the movies and television shows. And, it's about being really good people.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the world's kind of changed where stars and athletes and stuff, they're not that far off the spectrum, man.
Mm-hmm.
They're the exact same as your homeless man struggling from a drug addiction on the street. That we're all just people, you know? And mental health hurts us, I feel like, more than physical health. And they both, you know, they both work together. You know, if you're mentally not okay, then you're probably not physically okay. It builds up so much anxiety and so much animosity towards people. And it like takes away your innocence. Does that make sense? You know, you're like happiness. You're the thing that makes you smile.
That's right.
You know, the thing that like makes you belly laugh for minutes and people are like, oh my God, you're so annoying. You're having too much fun. No, they're probably just really happy people.
That's right. Yeah. I love how I ask, I'm like, all right, let's go down this conversation around happiness. And what you've talked about is so thoughtful. And I want to hit on the idea you just brought up with love. I think loving people is the absolute must. And like you had said, it could be anybody on the street, could be the athlete that you're working with, whatever, your team. And there is something special to understanding what that looks like per person. Your ex gets a different version of your love than your friend that you work with on your music. And, Absolutely. You know, and being able to like that, that's such a life hack that I'm so glad you shared, because a lot of us do think to ourselves, like, we're in our heads at all times. And one of the biggest life hacks is just falling in love with the people around you with no judgment, you have to be so vulnerable. That's why I love doing this show. Like, you know, and same with you, like you love creating with people and like, maybe you love making new friends because of this, but there's something so cool about, you know what? I could like, we could meet today on this podcast. I can say, oh, I love Mitchell Musso. And then maybe I see you in LA, come to Dallas, like whenever that happens. But like, you do get a certain level of affection for people that you're meeting. So a lot of what you're speaking to is happiness, right? But then as it pertains to people that you have learned to love. So as you've identified that that's something that you wanted to do now that you're on the other end of it, had you saw the correlation, and then how are people reacting in your life that you just like immensely, like you just said it, you immensely love these people, and what are they reacting to? Where do you feel like the missing pieces are for people who aren't that way?
Okay. First of all, I don't think I had to learn to love them. I always loved them. I had to learn to love myself. Mm. Right. Because the fire is the pride. So the pride is what holds me back from making those phone calls or putting yourself in social spotlights or posting on Instagram or, you know, you're like, oh my God, I'm ugly today. Or I don't feel very good about myself. Or I don't know, I'm depressed about anything, man. Like we're going through life. So anything could happen at any time. I think that I just had to learn to love myself before, but that it came with putting myself first, you know? So it feels like a double-edged sword, because you're going to hate me today, but you're going to love me next year or next month or in a week or however much time it takes people to work on themselves. And you should take as much fucking time as you need to take. Take your time, build yourself up, find your hobbies, find your strengths, find your passions, absorb all of that like a sponge and just be in that world because it'll make you better. It'll make you a better person because you're living life. There's, we're living life for a purpose, right? Like I don't feel like I want to live life if I don't have a purpose. If I don't have music, I don't want to live life. If I don't have acting, I don't want to live life. If I don't have those things that keep my engine moving, right? I really don't know what it is that I'm waking up for in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so those things are crucial to my love for people, my love for working hard at something, because at that point, you know, it's so cliche. You say it's not work, but all work is work. But the hardest work for me, again, this is working on myself, because it's not that fun at the beginning. Nobody wants to go sit and meditate for a fucking hour or 2 hours. I didn't, you know what I mean? Like, right. I really didn't. I didn't want to drink that green shake. I didn't want to go on that bike ride or do that workout or eat that food. I wanted to, you know, indulge in crap because it tastes good and it's fun, you know, or you think it's fun. But that is what hard work is to me. That's way harder than getting on stage in front of thousands of people and speaking my mind and singing songs or acting or being funny and throwing myself off a cliff and making people laugh. It's way harder to be alone in a room and doing what you're supposed to do for yourself to be a healthier version of you.
Mm-hmm.
But with doing that, I feel like I'm able to love more. I'm able to enjoy those moments when I do get around people or I am in this interview with you. Like I'm actually I'm really immersing myself in it and I'm sort of just speaking freely. Whereas before it was sort of scripted, you know, it was sort of, I'm on autopilot and I'm sort of saying the same thing that I said the guy previously or the girl an hour ago where it's not the real me. It ain't fucking real. You know what I mean? It's not me. And so this is me. And it's a lot, but at least it's honest because that's who I want to be. I just want to be an honest version of me.
Mm. Can we talk mindset for a moment? I feel like your mindset has evolved and something I've learned about it. It's that once you've learned something or experienced something, you can't unlearn or unexperience that. That's not how life works. You say journey, sure. You know, 30 minutes ago. And I think that part of the journey is learning everything and then realizing that there is nothing to be unlearned, for instance. So when it comes to your mind, right? More importantly, your mindset is at a certain level now where that green juice is just like there and you're good because you know what it does. Or, you know, you know that you want to go work out because you know what it does after you finish working out. You feel good about your body, you know? Sure. So then you think about your mindset now and how you've evolved it. People and it was hard. You said it. That shit is so difficult. And, you know, but did you fear it at all? Like the growth of your mindset and the evolution of your personality and you being happy and fulfilled? Like, did you fear that? And then what did you do about that fear at any point, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I think of course you fear any type of change. We're people. I don't want to change anything. If I'm accustomed to doing something a certain way, I don't want to change it. But I'm also an extremist. So when I make a change, it's very dramatic. And you can ask my mom. It's her favorite part about me, but also the worst part about me. Because it's too much a lot of people. It's a lot. Because they're so used to you being one way. And if you're changing dramatically, you're also changing them.
Mm-hmm.
You're also changing their relationship with you. And it's really hard to make to make all these people change their mindsets about you and the things that you do, you know. And I'm speaking in a very dramatic term here, or It's not just small things like with what you like or what, hey, I just came up with a new hobby, or I want to go shoot bow and arrows now, or I want to be, I want to do a triathlon. You know, these are like major changes. Mm. It's like I'm stepping away from a career that's funding hundreds of people to be in work, just to work on myself. You know, it's pretty, it's dramatic, you know? But again, it's only going to make the future better, mm-hmm. right? It's okay to change. You know, that is what life is. That's again, the journey. There's no destination. It's just a journey. Mm. So whether good or bad, I love and support everyone in everything that you guys do, or that my team does, or my friends do, or my exes do, and they start dating other people. Like, I fully support that. And years ago, I didn't. Years ago, I was prideful, mm-hmm. and probably pretty toxic. Not probably, for sure. For sure, you know, not because you don't know what you want, you know, and then you keep going back to the same things that you wanted to change. And in the back of your head, you know you should change it. But you're like, just do it one more time. Just like one more time. And that one time turns into a 2, 3, 4 uh-huh. a month, a year, or whatever happens. And it always has the same result, right? Mm. It always has the same result. And it's the same with fitness. If you work out for a week, you feel really, really good. You're like, oh, you know what? I can go out and drink with my buddies, or I can go out and go to the club and go do my thing. Because I worked so hard this week, you know, I ate really mm-hmm. good. I wasn't eating fast food. I'm walking my dog. I'm all chipper. I'm making business moves. I'm on the phone with so-and-so. We're making money. I'm going to go have fun for a minute. And that minute turns into a really long time. And sometimes weeks pass, months, and then you're, you know, years. Yeah.
You bring up almost like the idea of rewarding yourself for working so hard. And so, and for some reason in my brain, I'm like, okay, well, it's like a daily thing where, like, sure, you're working hard at something, but then a lot of folks, and if you're listening, you're probably I'm this way. You're probably this, or had been, Mitchell, and for a long time, you know, how you will do something, you'll work so hard, and then you want to celebrate to some extent. But I remember back in New York for 4 years, I was like, yeah, I like worked so hard. And the big thing about New Yorkers is that we work hard and play even harder. And it takes a toll, like on, I wouldn't say like just physically, right? Cause we're all working out. It takes a toll on your whole life. Your relationships aren't as deep as they should be. Your mental health is all over the static place. Your living situation might be like complete fuckery because you're just running around. So it's like a playground, adult playground. I bring that up because you also have moved, right? You've moved locations and changed your environment. Do you feel like changing your environment has really helped you not just like get in the right mindset and be able to like work on yourself holistically outside of the entertainment business? Cause you say entertainment, I say Hollywood. So there you go. Right. It's probably where you used to live. Right. And it's like environments are a big part of where people are, I think, and I could be very wrong, but I feel like it plays one of the biggest parts in just self-discovery, where you're living, what, you know, and I'll give you an example once you give us your thoughts, but what are your thoughts on changing your entire environment as you, someone who's an extremist with change, just get up and just change things and flip the, you know, entire script.
I do it all the time. The time. I'm here in Texas right now because we in Dallas, because my house, and we were putting together Ghost, and we're releasing a record, and I've been here for about a year. But don't get it twisted, I'll be gone very soon, because that's just the kind of person I am. I like to move around. I like to experience things. I like to travel. And it's weird because that sounds so, it just sounds wrong coming out of my mouth, because not everybody has that, not everybody's allowed to do or is able to do that. So I think that it's so tough. I've been able to make huge changes without having to change my environment, but I did have to change the people that I was around. So that, that worked for me. And it wasn't that I had to cut everybody off. It was just, I had to say no to things. And it's, again, this is totally cool to say no and put yourself as priority. It's really actually the most important thing that you can do for yourself with self-growth and nurturing yourself, taking care of yourself, you know, as an adult, mm-hmm. because we don't always have someone there to nurture. You know, we don't always have this motherly figure. You're an adult, you're alone, or you're with roommates, or you're, whatever your situation is. So, you know, I kind of started this process in LA regardless. Mm-hmm. I just had to stop hanging out with certain groups of people, you know, and then after that happened, I was, my brain told me to go to, so-and-so, go to Florida or go to Denver or go to, go back home for a little bit, you know, like,
I love Texas. That.
So I just sort of just, have been on this, mental health, journey for so long.
You're listening to yourself.
I'm listening to myself. And I know everybody has this, and it's not just your, I know they call it your conscience, but, there's something internal in me that I always have the answer for something that is the most beneficial for myself. But it's really hard to act on that voice mm-hmm. sometimes. Because, again, change is really hard for people, you know? And I totally get it. Some change for me isn't that hard. I'm really pretty comfortable with myself. I do and did struggle with anxiety for a little bit, but it was never that big of an insecurity for me where I would say, oh no, I can't go there because I'll be alone. I won't know anybody. And I'm very uncomfortable with that situation. I lived in Brooklyn for like a year.
I'd lived in Brooklyn for a year.
Yeah, I know you were talking about New York and I forgot to say that too. Like I lived there for about a year.
So then you,
And I was like alone. I just wanted to go. Well, it started with me going out there shooting a movie called Stuck, and I ended up just being stuck because I just wanted to be there. I was like, I just stuck myself in it. And I was like, I wonder if I can build a life here. Y'all play crazy out there, and it's way different than Texas, where I'm more, you guys are so go, go, go. And like, I don't know, just like more equipped for that world where I'm like super laid back and like to fish and I like to sit back and watch TV and just sort of relax. And I'm sure a lot of people in New York like to do that as well. But there was something about, I guess, Brooklyn. Maybe it wasn't the best part of New York for that time in my life, but it was fun for a year. But then I wanted to change.
Something I appreciate about you, like first, and as I'm listening to you, I'm like, I just appreciate you because you appreciate people and environments to what we were just talking about. It's not that Brooklyn's not ever going to be a thing or that you wouldn't go back or, you know, but you appreciate it and you spent, you know, you're there. I think that's a really important topic to discuss because as you're changing and as you notice something, say for instance, Mitchell, you literally have given us a bucket of everything. So I'm just going to recap it. But at the beginning of this conversation, here you are talking about how, and all I had to ask you, right? This is why I love podcasting with such extraordinary people like you. It's I asked you, catch us up on your life. And here we are 45 minutes later. Just
I went
everything.
Down the rabbit hole. I'm sorry.
No, it is the best. I'm already thinking of your episode title and that's in that case. But then you walk us through this change and you completely like, you know, went blackout on your career and then you pivoted, but then you've also done so gracefully with so because you've seems like you've kind of adapted to a new personality of yourself. But in doing so, it came to the changing of the environments, the people around you, the acknowledgement to your subconscious thoughts, right? And how you wanted to act on those things. Now to then get to a place where you seem very at peace. We said happiness earlier. I also think you're very peaceful. And speak to that with me for a moment because I'm the same way. I was in New York and I was like, yo, as someone who was like building a media company and just like, I left NBC at the same time that I drastically moved to LA. And it was all because I was like, yeah, like I want a vibe. And like, I don't even work with people today that like build chaos. I just can't. So then I wanted to discuss that with you because I felt that when I first joined this Zoom call with you, I go, there is so much power in peace. So with that said, have you always been this way? And if not, where was the pivot, the peaceful pivot, as I might add, you know, and how has it really benefited you to be so still and at peace and go fishing? But still, you are literally still just as successful as when I last saw you in Hannah, Montana. So like nothing clearly has actually changed with like your bank account and your, you know, your persona online, your music, everything is still up there. So, you know, how has being peaceful? Those are like two questions. Like, when did it really happen for you? And then how has it benefited?
We all, again, we all were, it's not just me. I'm not the reason for being successful. I just am good with words and scripts and stuff. But as far as the peaceful part of it, it was not always like that. I mean, it was always fun. Like it's all, everybody's always told me, you're just fun to be around. I'm fun to be around in, it's so hard. When I was a kid, it was about the party. It was about the rock star mentality. It was about showing up, doing the most, having a gaggle of people with me at all times. I always had a ton of my friends and obviously all my castmates. We were so close, and it was a constant energy, like this high intensity energy of you're always on. And we were all really, really good at it. And I was good at it. And so the difference from that person to who I am today, I had to strip it away completely. And I didn't even know I loved to fish. I didn't even know I loved to bike. I didn't even know that I loved fitness or the people that were in fitness, because I was surrounded around a completely different type of group of people, especially in Hollywood, as you said. There's just different. In my circle of people, it wasn't probably the best for somebody trying to figure out peace. You know, it was, you're also young and you're kind of able to do a lot of things that a lot of young kids can't do because they're in school or they're working on some sort of education or they're working. And so it's just a different world. And it's not like, as young actors, we're not working, because we are working. We're working in a cutthroat adult industry, and it's very difficult to maintain that type of relevance. But you also get away with a lot. You know, you're also able to do a lot of things that most kids can't do. And this is just me being super honest. The peace came with, again, stripping all of that away. And sort of locking myself in a smaller town, because it's not like I just boarded up my walls and kept myself inside. I obviously do things, but it's just a different, I'm constantly jumping around because I'm experiencing other people's social bubbles and different worlds. And I sort of put all the things that I've learned from this world and that world and my own hometown and pull the things that I really like and build my own structure, build this foundation of this is who I am as a person. These are my do's and my don'ts. This is what I'm comfortable with. This is what I'm not comfortable with. And yeah, man, I mean, it's just made me feel pretty peaceful.
I can't think of another like conversation to have on a podcast like this than this, because what you're speaking to, I think a lot of people will learn from. And if you clicked play, there's a million podcasts out there, but they don't necessarily get Mitchell Musso. Okay. I got Mitchell Musso. Thank God you have your music out, which I want to talk about right now. So Drank, obviously the out, I mean, you said it was a couple hours ago. So we're recording this and you guys, mind you, like a lot of episodes do get recorded and don't get aired until like maybe a week later. So congrats on the album. I'm so excited for you. Ghost, you think of Ghost, it's like Halloween time, which is just perfect timing. But you think of all the music that you've tracked up with your team and that you've spoken to, written about, and produced and put out in the world now. And you said it earlier, you don't know how people are going to react to it, but how do you wish that they would react to it? Because what I'm going to do is put it below in our show notes. And I'm stoked for people to get a feel for your new vibe. Again, like your music, when I listen to it, I go, Mitchell Musso, brother that I remember from Disney Channel, like, what are we doing? So it's cool. And I'm excited for you, but tell us a little bit about the music and what you really hope people get out of it.
I mainly connection. I feel like connection is, it's the most important thing, with music, because well, then again, I like to listen to songs that have nothing to do with my life, but make me feel like a beast or whatever.
Yeah.
But this record's super, again, pretty personal. And I think it touches on a lot of things that people go through, but there's some resilience in it. There's purpose in it. There's strength in it. And there's a ton of love in it. So I hope people enjoy the record. Drank's was our first single. Experience was our second single. And Volcano just came out today as well. All of them do have music videos. So Volcano, just the video just came out about 2 hours ago with the release of Ghost. It's very different. It's very me. And I just hope everybody enjoys it as much as I enjoyed making it.
You say it was very you. I feel like this version of you has really, you said that you were at a peak. Describe that peak and what you get excited about thinking about maybe the next version of Mitchell Musso. Like, I know that if I call you 2 years from now and things have changed, I wouldn't be surprised.
Again, yeah, I'm sorry. You know? I'm saying peak, I mean peak for Friday, October 28th. You know what I mean? Like, my next peak is going to be tomorrow and then a year from now. I change with the wind, but I also keep my character. And I uphold that. I have a lot of, I love those things that make me, so that will never change, but my growth will always change because I always want to, grow.
Mm-hmm. You know? You said too, I mean, there's such an important thing where you say that you're depending on your environment and the experience you had in it, you're kind of cherry picking, you know? And I think that that's a great place to kind of to end on this conversation, in the sense that if you're listening and you think to cherry pick based on your environments, or maybe you do want to stay in one city, say you're tuning in from Nashville. Hey, Nashville, like maybe you do want to stay in one place, right?
Nashville, that's right. I think though with cherry picking too, is like, well, the second that you start thinking that you know everything or you've experienced everything and there's nothing else out there for you to, that's going to fill that happiness or something different, that is sort of when you slowly start to, your mental health or you as a person starts to decline, because I've experienced a shitload. I have been through a lot, and I'm sure a lot of these viewers have been through a ton. You know, we've all been through our own thing, but there will always be something new out there, you know, and that's what I'm going to seek forever, you know? Because I love life and I want to enjoy life, because I don't want to be negative anymore. I don't want to be depressed. I don't want to be sitting in bed for weeks on end watching the Netflix series that I love over and over and over again.
Sure.
Trying to find the next show. I really want to get out there and do something, whether that is just for myself or if it's for work, a passion, a hobby, but there's always going to be something out there that's new. You know, that's interesting. That's fun. That tests you, that tests your boundaries. That's probably something that you don't want to do. But I'm sure that you'll find some sort of light in it.
You make me so proud to host this podcast. Mitchell Musso, thank you.
Thank you for having me, man.
For your time, your energy. Y'all, I will mention everything below in the show notes. You guys know where to find it. And if you click play, there's a million podcasts out there. So I can't thank you enough for joining Mitchell and I on this very special episode. We are literally, Mitchell, I don't know if you know this, we're probably into like 9 seasons by now, you know?
No, and so I'm so glad to be here. Thank you.
Man, and for opening up, everybody, as I mentioned, everything we've talked about, where you can follow him, where you can watch the videos and listen to his music, more importantly, keep up with Mitchell Musso. I mean, Instagram's a great place to follow people. And listen, if he goes black stealth mode and doesn't post for a little bit, you know, maybe he'll come out with another version of himself later, which I'm just stoked to see where this continues to go for you, my friend. So, and as someone who was a fan and continues to be a fan rather, and who had watched you for so long and get to bring you on a platform like this in this way, this version of Mitchell Musso. I'm honored and I'm so happy you did this. So thank you.
Thank you. My gosh. Thank you so much. I'm going to send you flowers and everything else. Thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it. I appreciate your energy too. And yeah, I'll try not to go ghost again, and I will do what I got to do to keep at it.
Hey friends, Justin again. Well, that was the conversation today, and I hope you took plenty away from it. For those who keep coming back to this podcast, I want to say thank you for always being here and growing with my guests and I over the years. And if you're new to the Men of the Hour show, thank you for being here, and I'd love for you to come back next time by clicking that subscribe button. Oh, and for all of us tuning in right now, I'd love to hear your thoughts on today's episode by leaving a rating and review right where you're listening. Until next week, I'm your host, Justin Crawford. Continue taking care of yourself and inspiring others to do the same.